So the subtitle of my talk is Homogeneous Superspaces in the ADS CFT. So as we know, in this context we have a supergroup, G, which is a symmetry group of ADS across the sphere spacetimes. It's a symmetry group of ADS, and it's the conformal group of the boundary Minkowski space. So the idea is to use homogeneous superspaces in order to try to exploit this symmetry to the full. So the applications one has in mind are to brains in ADS cross S backgrounds, conformal fields and conformal field theory on the boundary, and possibly Kaluza-Klein in superspace. As we'll see, the description of these conformal fields turns out to be quite simple in this approach. So one might hope that there might be a simple description of Kaluza-Klein also in superspace. But nobody's ever attempted to do that, so I won't discuss that. There have been talks already from Renata Kolosch and Arkady Tsetin about number one, so I'm going to focus on two. So the general picture then, the case of type 2b, which is the case of interest, the group is SU22/4, ADS psi cross S5 superspace has the isotropy group SO14 cross SO5. ADS5 superspace has SO14 cross SO6 as its isotropy group. That's the background for gauge D equals 5, N equals 8 supergravity. And finally, the boundary is D equals 4, N equals 4 superminkowski space. So these two superspaces here both have 32 odd coordinates, whereas the boundary only has 16 coordinates. And those top superspaces were discussed by Tsayev and Tsetin and Kolosch and collaborators. Now, an important point I want to make is that there are other homogeneous spaces of this supergroup G which are associated with a boundary and which can be used to give a simple and explicit description of the conformal fields of interest in ADS-CFT correspondence, at least as it applies to supergravity. So, I think most people will not be familiar with this type of superspace. So, in the first part of the talk, I'm going to describe these spaces and the fields that live on them. And then I'll go on to make some remarks about conformal field theory to see how much we can say about conformal field theory on the boundary using symmetry arguments. So in order to discuss these homogeneous superspaces on the boundary, it's actually easier to complexify space-time. So let me recall for you ordinary four-dimensional complex Minkowski space, which can be written as the coset space of the complexified conformal group, which is just SL4C, with isotropy group P. And P consists of matrices of this form here. The blank area denotes a zero, and the crosses denote elements which are not necessarily zero. So it's a subgroup of matrices of this form determines Minkowski space. And to recover the usual conformal transformations, one picks a standard coset representative. So a point X in Minkowski space is represented by this element in the S of X in the group SL4. And then one applies usual homogeneous space techniques to find a conformal transformation. You right multiply by an element of the group G and left multiply by a compensating element of the isotropy group. And if you do this in the infinitesimal case, where I parameterize this element of the Lie algebra in this way here, where these A, B, C, and D are 2 by 2 matrices, then the transformation of X takes its familiar form, these translations A and D, Lorentz and dilations, and since C is conformal boosts, and H takes this form here. Now we can construct other homogeneous spaces of G using other isotropy groups of this type, that is, parabolic isotropy groups. The parabolic ones are the ones that contain the, well, parabolic algebras contain the Borel subalgebra, which in this case is the algebra of lower triangular matrices trace zero. And these, for the various parabolics you can have in this case, you find exactly the spaces which arise in twist theory. Let me give you an example. Projective twister space has this isotropy group here. It's just CP3, and here T is twister space. That's just the space carrying the defining representation of SL4C. So now we want to generalize that to D equals 4 superspaces. So the super complex superconformal group is SL4/n, and for the purposes of illustration I'll take n equals 2. So we divide the group up into blocks, so the diagonal blocks are the even elements and the off-diagonal blocks are the odd elements. And super Minkowski space is specified by the isotropy group which has elements of this form. So over here I've written the standard coset representative, so x the normal spacetime coordinate and theta and phi are the odd coordinates. In the real case phi will be the complex conjugate of theta. So we can make other superspaces, for example chiral superspace. I've drawn the isotropy group in the second example, and here I remind you that the blanks correspond to zeros in the isotropy group and also correspond to the coordinates of the homogeneous space, so there are half the number of thetas here in chiral superspace. So we want to do something a bit more interesting. So let me introduce this third space, which is complex harmonic superspace, MH. A real harmonic superspace was introduced by the Dubner group, Galperin, Ivanov, Kalitsin, Ogilevsky, and Sokachev some time ago. This is the complex version. You see, it's almost the same as Minkowski space, except that I've removed one of the crosses from this internal part of the diagram in the bottom right-hand corner. So this internal part of the diagram then corresponds to a one-dimensional complex space, which is just CP1. So roughly speaking, you think of this harmonic superspace, this complex harmonic superspace, as being the product of Minkowski space, super-Minkowski space, times CP1. So it has coordinates of ordinary superspace supplemented by a single coordinate, holomorphic coordinate on CP1. And these same group also discuss this final case, and this case is actually the case of most interest. They introduced a space called analytic superspace, which is essentially a combination of the previous two examples. We have this non-trivial internal part to the isotropy group. And we've also halved the number of thetas, number of odd coordinates, but we've done it in a different way here. So I'll denote these coordinates by x, lambda, pi, and y. So lambda and pi are the odd coordinates. Well, of course, you can construct many other homogeneous spaces, for example, super twister spaces, discussed by Ferber, Manin, and Witten, amongst others. So for the case of n equals 4, we want to generalize the analytic superspace, and the appropriate space, I've drawn the isotropy group here. So in this case, we have halved the number of thetas from 16 to 8, and we've introduced 4 internal coordinates, and in fact, the internal space is the same as the spacetime, at least in the compact case. So the coordinates then are each 2 by 2 matrices, so alpha and alpha dot are spacetime spinner indices, and A and A primed are internal two-component spinner indices. Now by a change of basis in the super twister space, which in this case is C4/4, carrying the defining representation of the group, we can actually bring the standard coset representative to the same form as we had for Minkowski space. So here, capital X is the matrix of supercoordinates, which is X, lambda, pi, and Y. And one can do that as well for n equals 2 analytic space. So with this information, it's easy to see that the superconformal transformation in this space just takes exactly the same form as conformal transformations in Minkowski space, except that now these parameter matrices are in fact supermatrices. So this was discussed by myself and Gareth Hartwell and also Peter West. Now, if we're interested in real space-time, it turns out that this analytic superspace is not a homogeneous space of the real superconformal group. So this is like a chiral space, in fact. It's an intrinsically complex space. So what one has to do instead is to work in a harmonic superspace. What happened there? Did I type it?
Have you ever seen this many technicians in the room at once?
It's impressive. My bag's in the way now. Yeah. Yes. Right. Okay, so after that interruption. What was I saying? All right. Okay, so in the real case, we have to work on real harmonic superspace, which is a coset space of the real superconformal group, and it's Minkowski space times an internal space. This internal space is in fact the same internal space as we had in the complex case. But in this case, we usually think of it as a coset space of the internal symmetry group, compact symmetry group, as a real case. So for n equals 2, F is again CP1, it's coset of SU2. For n equals 4, this space F is this coset space of SU4. It's actually the Grassmannian of two planes in C4. And then we have on this this space here, we have two Cauchy-Riemann type derivatives, an odd one, which generalizes chirality, and an even one, which is just the ordinary del bar operator acting on this complex space F. So fields on this space, harmonic superspace, can satisfy this Grassmann analyticity type condition, generalized chirality, or they can be analytic with respect to this internal space, or they can satisfy both A and B. And if they satisfy both A and B, we call those analytic fields. They're actually the fields of interest, and they correspond to fields on this analytic space in the complex case. So let me now turn to the fields themselves. So if the case is n equals 4, the basic superfield is a Maxwell field strength superfield W, which is a single component analytic field. So if we write it in terms of the coordinates here and expand out, the first term can be expanded in powers of y. You see y is a 4 vector, so there is six components. They correspond to the six components of the scalars in the in this multiplet. This superfield W has charge 1 with respect to a U1 subgroup of the isotropy group of the internal space. And then from it we can build further multiplets, for example the supercurrent, the energy momentum tensor. Now in the non-Abelian case, this field W is covariantly analytic, not just analytic, it's covariantly analytic. But we can still construct analytic operators by constructing gauge invariant powers of W. So if we take this operator AQ, which is trace W to the power Q in SUN, say, that will have charge Q. I've written down here its transformation under the conformal group. And the point is that these fields are fields of this type are in the large n limit are in one-to-one correspondence with the multiplets of the Kaluza-Klein spectrum of 2B supergravity on ADS5 cross S5, and that was shown explicitly by Ferrara and A. Okay, so I was going to say a little bit about the other case, the M-theory case. One can play similar games there. Let me just tell you the result for D equals 6, 2, 0 case. In this case, we can describe the free tensor multiplet again by a single component analytic field in a harmonic superspace which has this internal manifold, USP4 divided by U2. And then the powers of this W will again be the conformal fields. In particular, T, the supercurrent, is W squared. And some of these multiplets were discussed in a recent paper by Lee and Rosalie. Okay, so now I'll move to a discussion of trying to apply this formalism to N equals 4 superconformal field theory. So this is work with Peter West. So the idea is very simple. We want to apply the superconformal Ward identities to correlation functions of analytic operators. So we call these correlation functions G. So we assume that this is a reasonable thing to do this. So that we can apply these Ward identities naively and we don't have any problems with analyticity breaking down in the quantum theory. So if we assume we can do that, let's go ahead and see what consequences we find. So first of all, for the two-point functions, the basic building block is what we call the propagator, which is the two-point function of the Maxwell multiplet in the free theory. So that's easy to work out. Call it little g12. x12 here just means x1 minus x2. So it's just the superdeterminant of this supercoordinate matrix to the minus 1. And it has this explicit form in terms of the coordinates here, where y hat is y corrected by these fermionic terms. Recall that Y is a four-vector in this internal space, so this is matrix multiplication. So the two-point function of any of these analytic fields will look like a delta of the charges times this propagator to the appropriate power. So in particular, for the supercurrent, we get G12 squared, and the coefficient here will actually be the central charge. Let's go see if we can go any further. Let us consider now the case of three-point functions, which have also been discussed by Friedman and collaborators and Lee et al. So the claim is then that applying the superconformal Ward identities to the three-point function of three of these analytic fields can be solved by this function I've written over here on the right-hand side. That's provided that these k's are positive integers. So if the k's are not positive integers, one cannot conclude that the right-hand side must be zero, because there could be terms which are nilpotent. So for the case that these k's are positive integers, this should be the unique form for three-point functions of this type. So as an example, if we take the supercurrent, it's just a product of three propagators times a constant. So let's check that this is not totally silly by comparing with components. This multiplet contains the SU4 currents, and they appear at order pi lambda in the expansion. So to dig out the three-point function of three of these SU4 currents, we need to find the pi lambda cubed term over here. So recalling the form of the propagator, we can see that there are two types of term. We can either have pi x inverse lambda for each difference variable multiplied together, or we can have terms of this second form. And it's not difficult to believe that this terms of the type 1 here are the right term to describe the anomaly, because x inverse is essentially x over x squared, so we get 1 over x to the fourth for each of these differences times xxx. And that's exactly the right form that appears in the anomaly triangle. And the rest of the other terms correspond to the rest. So the coefficient, the overall coefficient here, should be determined from anomaly considerations. For example, you can think about coupling the theory to n equals 4 conformal supergravity, and that since that is only divergent of one loop, the one loop result should give you the exact coefficient here. And this has also been discussed by these people, in particular Friedman and collaborators. So can we go forward to 4 points? So I put a question mark indicating that nothing of significance is going to emerge over the next couple of transparencies. Let me show you that we might be able to get something. So the idea is to write our correlation function in terms of propagators which take care of the charges times some function of the invariance. So in normal conformal field theory, that's usually all you can say at 4 points or more. Now, Peter West and I computed these invariants, and they're in two types. There's type 1, super cross ratios, and they're very simple functions to work out. But the type 2 are these super traces of the super coordinates, and they're very complicated when you work them out. But the extra ingredient we have here is that any correlation function must be regular as a function of the internal space coordinates, because the fields can be just expanded as polynomials in these Ys. On the other hand, all these invariants here are rational functions, so there are singularities all over the place, and these singularities must cancel. So the idea is that this function of invariance cannot be arbitrary. The question is, do these constraints due to regularity give you anything interesting? So the n equals 4 case is extremely complicated to deal with, so we've been looking at an n equals 2 case, again in analytic superspace. So we have, in particular, we focus on the hypermultiplets, which are analytic, and we construct gauge invariant operators, which are gauge invariant products of the hypermultiplets phi. So, for example, we have a charge 2 operator here. And we're currently studying this 4-point function of 4 of these operators, which we can write in terms of propagators times a function of the invariance. So in the case of n equals 2, the internal space is only one-dimensional, so y is just a single-component object. So it's very much simpler. And it turns out that there are 3 independent invariants, 2 of these simple cross ratios, and a third one which is a supertrace and therefore complicated. So studying this with Burkhard Eden, Emery Sokachev, and Peter West, we believe that analyticity plus the fact that it's symmetric implies that this 4-point function has a simple form. However, we're not quite sure that we trust that result, so we'd like to test it, and together with Christian Schubert, we are currently doing this using n equals 2 harmonic superspace perturbation theory, which has the advantage of giving you the answers directly in the form that you want. So we have verified analyticity in this case, and also there's some other correlation functions involving operators with charge 3. And we've also verified that certain 3-point functions have no corrections beyond the leading order, which is in agreement with what Dan Friedman reported on earlier in the week. But I should emphasise that even if we can get a result here, even on the most optimistic interpretation of analysticity, we are not going to get simple results for operators with higher charges which are sufficiently high. For example, if all the operators have charges greater or equal to 4. So I think that's the end of my talk. And my conclusions are that this analytic homogeneous superspace approach at least gives a simple description of the conformal fields which are relevant in ADS CFT. At least some of the three-point functions seem to be easy to compute. And who knows, we may even be able to calculate some results for more than three-point functions. So I'll stop there. Thank you.
Questions? Well, I have one question. You described how you use the superspace methods in the conformal field theory side. Do you have any ideas about how it might be used also on the Andre de Sirois side of the correspondence, where we have the same supergroups?
No, I think that one would have to look at the Kaluza-Klein program in homogeneous superspace to be able to do that.
Further questions? Okay, so let's thank the speaker again.